out of the way before my facial appearance distracts you from the lesson and the message I have presented. There was an incident at work yesterday. As many of you know, I work in a psychiatric facility in an acute unit, so sometimes we get some rough hombres. And this particular gentleman decided that he was threatening to kill my partner. And we both believed him because he went chasing him. And before he could get my partner, I dove into this guy that's really huge and bigger than I am. And usually I don't have to face that. But as we both went into the ground, my head went into a chair. And as my wife would probably agree, as long as it hits my head, then there's not going to be any issues. I'll be just fine. So I can guarantee you I feel much better than maybe I look. She also noticed, as I did, as I was putting my tie on, that everything was matching my scars and stuff. So at least I'm staying color coordinated. But seriously, let's turn our focus to why we are here. Oftentimes, the lessons I present are something about being the joys of being a Christian. I mention this often because I think it's very important we understand that there are joys of being a Christian. I think too often, as I've mentioned, we sell ourselves short. And we're waiting until we die and finally get to heaven and receive a reward in heaven where we can get our rewards and be joyful. But my friends, the kingdom of God is here today that we might be joyful now. There are many joys that we can have in being a Christian. I mentioned a few that one joy you can have is following the second command. I presented that several months ago. That following the second command of doing unto others, of helping other people, helps us feel the first command also in loving the Lord your God. And the two go hand in hand. And all these, all the prophets sing. There's another aspect that I want to look at, though, that is should bring joy to all of us. If we think about living in this world, we get tied up in all the minutiae that goes on. The thing, we're physical, so all we can see is these things. And that's what basically ties up our lives and distracts us from what we can be experiencing as Christians. And I turn to the psalmist, Psalm 121. If you would turn with me there. Whenever I'm doing sermons or thinking of things to study, I was telling Andy this morning, because we've discussed several times, so what are you preaching on? I said, well, you know, I don't know, because I start looking at this, and then it takes me into another, and then I just start following all these tracks. But I arrived at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 says, it's titled, "The God, the Help of Those Who Seek Him, a Song of Ascents." It says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore." In doing some research, I try and find out, so when was this psalm written? Sometimes it's attributed to David, you know, about what he was going through. And this one, in looking at some of the commentaries I looked at, there's some disagreements and things like that. But one of them that I read was that it was written, several of them in fact said, that it was written probably in the time that Israel was in Babylonian exile, when Judah had gone into Babylonian exile. Others have said you can't really tell when it was, but I like the one that said that they were in Babylonian exile because it kind of went along with the message I wanted to present. So I'll go with that because there are some that say that this is when it happened and others might disagree. But as we look at this, one thing that I noticed first of all that caused me to want to present this lesson is, he says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." If this was in the Babylonian exile, then picture yourself as one of the children of Israel that has been taken over into captivity. They're in a land that is not their own. They're in a land that Jeremiah said they should go to without any fighting or anything like that. He says, go there, and if you go, the Lord will bless you. There were others that were saying, I'm a prophet of God, and within 2 years, everything's going to be returned back. But if you turn over to Jeremiah 29, and look there with me real quick, you'll see that his message was something totally different than that. But this writer, being here in Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah 29 says, "Thus the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." Though they were going into this captivity, they were going to a lush land at that time. They were going to a place that even though in captivity, life would be good for them. In fact, it kind of mirrors what happened when they were in Egyptian bondage, was it not? That they had the fertile lands, and then over time they became slaves. But here they are in Babylon, a very nice place, a place where they could plant their vineyards, where they could eat from, establish homes, raise sons and daughters. Life was really going to be good in that captivity if they followed what the Lord said. But now here's the psalmist in Babylonian captivity, and he says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help?" He had this whole world that he was in, but he was not happy and content. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." He was not content to dwell in a place that was not his home. He knew where his home was. He was very, the rest of the people were very pleasant. In fact, as history went, you would find that many of the Jews in Babylonian exile did not return back to Israel. They were perfectly happy to stay where they were. But it was not their home. And the psalmist here says, "From whence comes my help?" He knew where he was, and it was not where he wanted to be. He looked towards the hills, looked towards his homeland. Like Daniel, whenever he went to the window and prayed three times a day towards Jerusalem, desiring to go home. Life was good for Daniel. I mean, he was in the king's court. But that was not his home. "The Lord is my help to get me home." Actually, he could have easily been tempted to stay in Babylon, but yet he didn't. He knew his reality was that this isn't my real home. I want to go to my real home. I think it's a message we need to think about, isn't it? Sometimes do we not get caught up with it? You know, life in America is not too bad. I've got it pretty easy here. I have a lot of pleasures and a lot of pleasantries. But it's not our home, folks. This is not our home. And with the mind of the Spirit, it takes our spiritual mind to be able to see Him. You know, the psalmist, he was able to look. And through faith, he knew where his home was and he could see it. And with God's help, he was going to make it back to Israel. And I think one of the messages for us today is that we need to realize that this is not reality. We're pilgrims here. This is not our home. There's a home beyond for the Christian. And I take joy in knowing that. And I take joy in knowing that God is my helper. And He is the one that will help me get there. He has provided a way for me to get there. So I'll turn and look to Him. But it does take a change of mind. It does mean that we have to look through the eyes of faith. We have to look through the eyes of the Spirit. For we are in a spiritual heavenly home. We are in a spiritual kingdom. And sometimes the physical tends to keep us from realizing what we have here on earth. It was promised to us and it's a joy to have. So there's some questions we need to look at. Do I see the unseen? Can you, through faith, see what is unseen? It's difficult to do in this body. Does that far off, that land that, like the psalmist wrote, he couldn't see, but he knew it was there, does it assume substance and does it assume reality to me? Do I believe it's real? Or are these just words? Do the things that I see in this world, the things I see, do they keep me from seeing what is really there for me? I kind of look at this and think about what the Apostle John wrote in Revelation. And in chapter 1, I think it's around verse 7, I can't remember for sure. But I remember the Lord, you remember what the Lord told him? He says, "Write, for these things are, and here are the things that shall be." What was the message there? John was in the Spirit, and he was seeing things that Jesus said, "These things are, and you're also going to see things that shall be." But what was John's reality? He was being persecuted, imprisoned, in exile, whatever it might be. But he says, "John, Those aren't the things that are. Here is what is reality. But it took him to look through the eyes of the Spirit. And that's something I think that we ought to look at and think about. Are to us the things unseen the real things? The psalmist could not see the real land of Israel, but he saw it with his mind of faith. And he did not let his situation and his circumstances distract him to cause him to believe that he was home, that this is where you're going to be. His desire was to go to that place that he couldn't see, that he knew was the real thing. He wanted to go home. And so I ask you, is the Lord your helper? Do you go to him for help? He says that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He didn't go to just anybody for help to understand where he should be or to help him reach his goal. And nor should we. We look forward to the Creator of heaven and earth, who is able to keep his promises, that we might be where we should be, and that is home with God, because this is not our home. But can you see the real thing as John did through the spiritual eyes? The psalmist continues in verse 3, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Secondly, not only is the Lord my helper, the Lord is my keeper. And as the psalmist looks at this, he says, "He keeps me. He is the one who keeps me." And we look at these different blessings that he has. He says, first of all, we're in Babylonian captivity. Well, God must be sleeping or God doesn't care. Do we do the same thing when we're having trials in this life? God must be sleeping or he doesn't care. I'm going through these different miseries here on the earth. But what is real? What really is happening is God is not asleep. And God does care. He neither sleeps nor slumbers, but he watches over those that are his. And so as he continues on, he says, "He's my keeper." He talks about the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. And this might be a reference to some of the things that some people would say back in medieval times and stuff that... Literally, that being out in the sun, you could get sunstruck from your hard work in the day, or at night, you might freeze to death. He keeps you from the causes of the sun or the moon. And then others would say that when he's talking about the moon, that there were different psychological problems that would happen to you at night. People were afraid of the moon and things like that. But I think really what he's saying here, they may be right, but I think what he's saying here is that it doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. It doesn't matter if life is good for you or if you're having difficult circumstances in life. God is not asleep and he doesn't slumber. And he is there to keep you. We have to understand the reality is that God is there for us and that his promises are true. But is it that we are so caught up in the life of this physical life and we see all these things going on that, well, God must be asleep. God must be slumbering. But it's not so. Day and night, Jehovah is awake. No one can move you. Nobody can move you from Jehovah. He keeps you. You're in his care. He said he will not allow your foot to be moved. He will not allow your soul to be taken by any evil. Only you have that choice. You can remove yourself, but nobody outside of yourself can remove you from his care and from his keeping. When you have committed yourself to God, when you've committed yourself to Christ, you are being kept, and nobody can take you away. He is your shade. He's at your right hand. He is your helper. He is at your side. When anybody was at the right hand of somebody, that was their helper. That was their keeper, and he would be there with them. No matter what sicknesses we might have here, no matter what our circumstances might be, God is our keeper. I like what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. All the different circumstances Paul was in, of anybody that should be an unhappy Christian, it'd be this man here. Here's a man who had high esteem in Judaism, but yet he followed after Jesus Christ. And through all his sufferings, through everything that he went through, he says it to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There was a time and day in which Paul would face Jesus Christ in judgment. There was a time when Paul would die, as all of us will. And the thing is, when we give our things to Christ, when we give our things to God, He keeps them, and they will be there. He is able to keep those things, whatever, and guard them. So commit your things to God, and He is faithful to keep them. The keeper will be there for you. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew chapter 6, around verse 17, I think, somewhere around in there. Lay not for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where those things do not affect it. Keep everything there. Finally, the psalmist says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord is our preserver. He will preserve us from this time now and forevermore. Those that are following Christ, those who are Christians, know that He preserves His own. And what we mean about preserving, if you think about people that can goods and things like that, if you just leave fruit or vegetables out to its natural elements, they're going to rot and they're going to corrupt. But if we preserve them, they can go on for more months, maybe even years, depending on what it might be. But with the Lord, when He preserves us, when He keeps us in such a state that evil cannot touch us, He does that by living in His Word, by walking in the light. Evil can't touch you. Evil cannot take you away from Him. He preserves us. When He preserves us, He says, now and forevermore, you will always be preserved. And that's one of the things that I think we should look at. One of the joys of being a Christian is that not only does He help us, He keeps us, He preserves us. Those things that we can learn from the message of Jesus Christ, from the prophets, from all of these, the things that we learn there preserve the soul. It keeps the soul fresh. It keeps the soul continuing. But if we turn to those things that are evil, then nothing can happen but other rot and destruction and corruption of the soul. When we commit our ways to the Lord, as this psalmist has, our souls are preserved. In 2 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, He does keep evil away from us, and He delivers us, and He preserves us. Paul had this confidence also. The message of the psalmist is this in Psalm 121, is that if we give our lives to the Lord, if we will commit to Him, we can have that home that we desire. We have to see it through the eyes of faith. We have to understand that the reality that we call reality here is only a shadow of what is real. It's the shadow. The joys and the blessings we have here are a shadow also of the ultimate joy that we will have in attaining that home with God in heaven. With these, I say that we should be joyful Christians. With these, having our helper, our keeper, and our sustainer, our preserver, in Jesus Christ, we can be joyful Christians. Can you see it, though? Can you see that everything that you've looked at, everything that you've believed, can you see it with the eye of faith? Is it real to you, or are we still stuck in this life here? Are we like the Israelites that remained in Babylon, that they became too comfortable? They didn't want to leave Babylon. Are we too comfortable here that we say, I don't want to leave. I like being here. The psalmist didn't like being here. He was ready to go to his home. And I hope that we can too. With the joy of being the Christian, part of my sermon is turning to a song in the supplement, number 141. We sang it this morning, but it's part of my sermon, so we're going to sing it again. The joys we have in being a Christian is an understanding that our helper, our maker, is the one who made the heavens and the earth. And His promises are true. He will help you. He will keep you. He will preserve you. Number 141. Let's praise and sing glory to God who has done all these things for us. Let us sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Hosts. who is the great I am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of kings. Hallelujah to the Hallelujah to the Lord of lords, who is the great God.
This is who the psalmist believed in. This is who we profess to believe in. Is it real to you? Let us leave aside the things of this world. Let us look more with the spiritual eye, as the psalmist did, looking to where he belonged. And he could get there by the help of God, because God would keep him and he would preserve him. If there's anybody who would like to know the joys of being a Christian, you have an opportunity now. There are so many different blessings that we can have in Jesus Christ. If there's any way we can assist you, would you come now as together we stand and sing this song?